Have you ever felt like you are gone? Out. Gone for all money. No hope. No chance. A snowball's chance in hell, as they say. Really gone. Well, Valentine's Day, 1987, South Africa, Ulton Haga Cricket Club were playing Port Elizabeth. And Aubrey Nell was at the non-striker's end. And the striker played a shot, and then the batsman tried to take two runs. But the fielder, whose name was Tim Smuts, which is pretty extraordinary, he had a good arm, and his throw clipped the ball clipped the wickets, and Aubrey was still out of his crease, and he knew it. So he knew he was out, so he just kept walking past the wickets back towards the changing rooms. He thought he was gone. But on his way back to the changing rooms, he turned around and had a look back, and he saw something astonishing. As you may know, to be run out in cricket, the bails, the bits of wood at the top, have to be knocked off the wickets and they have to hit the ground for you to actually be out. When Aubrey turned around, he saw the bails were like this. They'd gone up and come down, but they hadn't hit the ground. They got stuck between the wickets. And so the umpire called him back. And he went on to make 64 not out. His team won the match. And this is him years later with the trophy that he was given to commemorate the amazing occurrence. Pretty fine moustache he's got on there too. Aubrey thought he was gone. He should have been gone. But he wasn't. He got a second chance. Well, maybe in a way more serious than that, you have felt like you're gone. Like it's all over. No chance. Maybe you feel like that even at the moment. Maybe it's your job. It's your finances, family, relationships, your housing, your health, your study. Maybe it's just life, different struggles that you're going through. Maybe you even think you're gone with God, a little bit like what Sophie talked about before. Maybe you feel like it's kind of all over with God. Well, this morning, we're going to see someone who thought he was gone in that story that Jesus told, which we just heard read to us by Amanda. And this story comes amongst a bunch of stories which Jesus told and discussions that he had on his way to Jerusalem. Verse 9, the first sentence that we read from the Bible there, says that Jesus told the story to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. That's who he told it to. This is a great story that he tells. But more than just a great story, like everything else Jesus said, this has got something important to say to us today. This is a story about two different men who pray two different prayers and they get two different outcomes. And in the end, Jesus' story shows us two options that we all have. So we've got two men, two prayers, two outcomes, two options. If you want to follow along, there's an outline in the service sheets. So first of all, two men. There in verse 10, in sentence little number 10 there, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, these two men, they were very different from one another. The word Pharisees become a bit of a swear word for us today. Because, such a Pharisee. But we're misunderstanding the Pharisees of Jesus' time if we think of them as bad guys. The Pharisees, at the time Jesus was speaking, were decent members of society. They were tended to be educated, they were religious, they were morally and socially upright, and on the whole, people looked up to them, respected them for the good lives that they lived, for the good they did for their society. So this Pharisee was the type of guy who did what he was supposed to do, and who lived a good life. He's perhaps a lot like many of you here. The tax collector, on the other hand, he was not a decent or upright member of society. He's more like someone you'd see on the TV today on a kind of current affairs show, who's on there being featured because he got rich for swindling little old ladies out of their savings or something like that. He's that kind of person. See, tax collectors were Jewish people who collected money for the hated Roman occupying forces, and they were able to skim the cream off the top for themselves and do quite well out of it. So they were traitors, lining their own pockets at their people's expense. and they were helping out the enemy while they were about it. They were hated, and for good reason. So here are these two men, very different men, walking up to the temple to pray. They could well have been walking up right next to each other, and yet they're very, very different from one another. That's the two men. Next, we see the two prayers of these two men. First man we see pray is the Pharisee. He stands by himself, it says, and he prays. Verse 11, God, I thank you. That's a good start, isn't it? Thanking God, that's a good thing to do. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. Okay, you see what's going on here? He's thanking God that he's okay. He's thanking God that he's not like those bad people who do bad things. And in some ways, that's fair enough. We don't really want to get caught up with bad things. Not many of us like to think of ourselves as people who rob or do evil or commit adultery. Makes sense to be thankful, I suppose, if you're not caught up in those things. We want to be decent people. He's thanking God that he's a decent person. God, he says, thanks that I'm not like those ones. Or like this tax collector just here. He's a traitor. Think how many people he's ripped off. And he goes on in verse 12. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. Now, actually, that is pretty good. In Jewish religion, which the Pharisees were part of, you only had to fast a couple of times a year. This guy's fasting twice a week. So he's the sort of guy who doesn't just go to church Christmas and Easter. He goes every week. He helps out at the working bee and on the service rosters. Says his prayers daily. He's that kind of person. And he's a giver too, isn't he? Probably giving more than Jewish custom or Jewish law required. That's what giving a tenth of all he gets is about. It's going above and beyond. So he's the kind of guy who doesn't just give to charity when he feels guilty because someone asks him on the street. No, this is the kind of person who gives regularly to support a number of very carefully chosen charities. He donates the big bucks for his school fundraiser. He gives sacrificially to worthy causes. This is the kind of guy who helps little old ladies across the street, donates to World Vision, buys local, makes ethical consumer choices, goes to his kids' sports games, goes to his niece's ballet recital, and leads the local scout troop. This is a good guy. He is a good guy. And he's making sure that God doesn't forget it. Remember, he's praying here. He's gone up the temple. Why? To pray. He's reminding God that he's a good guy who does good stuff. Stuff that everyone knows is good. Stuff that God knows is good. So he's justifying himself before God. He's showing, in other words, why he's okay and why God should be okay with him. Just like we justify ourselves all the time. It's not just me, is it? I'm sure it's not. See, I do think to myself, well, I spent this many hours with the kids. I looked after the bub so Sarah could have a rest. At some stage, don't you get that one? I did tell that lie. I did that other thing that was wrong. That was a tricky situation, though. It's tricky. Besides, in my work, I've helped lots of people this week, and I've worked hard. I was friendly to my neighbor, and I put out the rubbish bins. I'm okay. Justifying ourselves. Sometimes in our heads, sometimes you hear it come out of your mouth, don't you? And if anyone should be able to justify themselves, it's this Pharisee. Because he is a decent person. He is a really good guy. And that's his prayer. The tax collector's prayer is different. He prays to God in the same way. And they both start their prayers by addressing God. But after that, the prayer is very different. The tax collector, Jesus says in verse 13, stood at a distance. It doesn't say what he's standing at a distance from. Maybe at a distance from the most holy part of the temple because he felt like he couldn't go anywhere near that. Maybe at a distance from the Pharisee who made him look so bad. The tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven, it says. He couldn't bear to look up to heaven. I don't know if you've ever been so ashamed of something. You can't look a person in the eye. I certainly have. This is like that. He can't even lift his eyes to heaven. He can't look God in the eye, so to speak. He's too ashamed. And instead, he beats his breast. And he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy. Turn away your anger. God, please, don't treat me like I deserve. Have mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. In fact, literally, the sinner. He says that because he says, I know I'm a sinner. I know I haven't lived how I should. I haven't done what I'm supposed to. I've done things I'm ashamed of. When I think of them, they make me squirm. So I can't imagine what you think of them, God. I haven't got anything to say to convince you that I'm good enough. I'm not. All I can do is beg you, please turn away your anger. Have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't try to justify himself, does he? He knows he can't. He's a tax collector, a rip-off artist. He hasn't lived a good life. And when it comes to God, he knows he's gone. No chance. Well, that's the two prayers. Two men with their two prayers. Next, Jesus speaks about two outcomes. And here Jesus sort of lifts his eyes in a sense and addresses the people that he's telling the story to directly. And he's been telling them this story, deep in the story, but then he sort of looks up and says to those that he's speaking to in verse 14, I tell you, this man, that's the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. This man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's two outcomes. Very surprising. See, the tax collector, he goes home justified, which means accepted by God, means made right with God. And he thought he was gone. He was too ashamed to even look in God's direction. But God accepted him. He didn't try to justify himself before God, but God justified him. The Pharisee, on the other hand, he had a different outcome. He didn't go home justified. Note that. He wasn't accepted by God. He tried to justify himself to God. He did a pretty darn good job. He did a better job than I could do. But Jesus says he wasn't justified by God. Hang on, Jesus. Have you forgotten? This guy did all this great stuff. He'd been really religious. He'd given money generously. He hadn't done all the bad things that some other people do. He was a good man. But Jesus says, the tax collector, not the Pharisee, went home justified, accepted by God. Now, to help us understand this, remember back at the very start of the story, we saw who Jesus was telling the story to, who he's speaking to at this point. Some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. They thought they were okay. In fact, they thought they were righteous. In other words, basically they thought when God looked at them, he said, that's a decent person. That's a good person. But with this story, Jesus is saying to them, no, God does not think that. When you justify yourself to God, you're not fooling him. Those who humble themselves will be exalted, lifted up. But all who exalt themselves will be humbled, given out, gone, condemned. See, Jesus is saying here, I'm not looking, God is not looking for people who think they're okay, who can justify themselves before God, they think. No, Jesus is looking for people who know they're not okay, who know they can't justify themselves. And here's why he's looking for people like that. Because when Jesus told the story, he was on his way to Jerusalem, on a trip down to the city of Jerusalem, and the reason he was going there was because he knew he was going to die on a cross. And do you know why he did that? Why he died on that cross? He did it to save sinners. Exactly what Sophie read to us from Mark's Gospel earlier. Came to save sinners. He says at various points, Jesus says at various points in the Gospel, that that's why he came, to save sinners. And the cross is his great and wondrous way of doing that. As Jesus died in the place of us sinners. He didn't die on the cross to save people who think they're okay. Who think they can justify themselves. And the reason for that is because people who don't think they are sick won't go to the doctor. I wear glasses, as you can see. And when I studied at theological college, so I haven't always worn glasses, when I was studying at theological college at the start, I didn't wear glasses. While you're there at college, you do lots of reading. Every day, heaps of reading. And so I spent more than a year trying to tell myself, my vision's fine. It's fine. The letters were getting more and more blurry, but my vision's fine. See, I didn't want to know that I had an eye problem. I didn't want to go to the eye doctor because I didn't want to admit I had a problem. People who don't think they're sick won't go to the doctor. People who think they can justify themselves to God don't come to Jesus to be saved. They don't say, yes, I need your death for me on that cross, Jesus. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy because I've got nothing else. They won't say that. Because if you don't think you're sick, you won't go to the doctor. If you don't think you're a sinner, you won't go to Jesus for mercy. But let's be very clear here, because Jesus is very clear. Jesus is plainly saying, if you think you can justify yourself like the Pharisee, you will not go home justified. But if you admit you're a sinner, you know that all you have, all you can do, is simply ask Jesus for mercy. If you know you're gone without him, he'll take that. You're the kind of person that he came to save. God will accept you. So that's the two outcomes. And it leaves us with two options. And the two options are actually quite simple. We can either try to justify ourselves, or we can ask Jesus for mercy. So we can try and justify ourselves. We can say, I'm not really that bad. I'm not sure I like what you've said here this morning, Jesus. I'm pretty good compared to some people. After all, Hitler, he was bad. I'm not like him. And I can think of other bad people I know, people who do things much worse than me. And look at that person on the internet. He's terrible. Look at that person in the news. At least I'm not like her. That person on the other side of the social or political divide, they're ruining society, not me. Look at that politician doing terrible things, not me. I work hard. I love my family, my friends. I might slip up sometimes, but surely I'm good enough for God. How would God not accept me? But the thing is, we are sinners. And you know how you can tell that you're a sinner? Because you have to try to justify yourself. We do it all the time. Comparing ourselves to other people to show we're okay. Making excuses for our failures. It's what this Pharisee was doing to make himself look good as he prayed. Putting all those good things up there. But the fact that we have to try to justify ourselves shows actually we know deep down that we're not as good as we try to look. Our lives have not been all they should. We do all have skeletons in our closet. We might try and ignore it as well, but our attitude and our attention to the God who made us is certainly not what it should be. That's why we have to try to justify ourselves. But that justifying yourself, that comparisons game, God does not play that game. Jesus shows us right here that coming before God with, well, actually, I'm quite a good person, or at least I didn't do that, that's exactly the kind of self-justification that God does not accept. See, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. We're not going to fool God by justifying ourselves. He will see straight through it. We need to admit that we're gone when it comes to being good enough for God. And that is the other option. Be the tax collector. Ask for mercy. Admit that you're gone. Realize you're a sinner. Because we are all sinners. We can't justify ourselves before God. We just need to stop trying. Admit that you're a sinner. Ask for mercy. Maybe there are some here who know all too well that they're not good enough. Maybe so often you feel like you are gone. Like God would have no reason to accept you anyway. If that is you, let me say to you this morning, my friend, in a way, that is actually good. Because you're exactly the kind of person Jesus came to save. A person who knows they're sick, and therefore you know you need a doctor. A person who knows you're a sinner, so you know you need mercy. And we have a Savior who loves to save sinners because he loves us. So ask him. Say to him, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a very freeing thing to do, as Sophie again said, very freeing. If you know that you're gone, you've got nothing to justify yourself before God, and you ask God to have mercy on you, you can be sure, even this morning, that you will go home justified. Accepted by God, and that status, that situation of being justified and accepted by God, will last forever. This is better than a second chance. This is acceptance and a welcome home from God. And you can be sure of that acceptance and that welcome home because of Jesus, who told this story. See, he's the one that God sent to die on that cross for us, for you, for me. And he rose to life again to make it sure. And sinners are exactly the kind of people that Jesus came to save. We need to pray. We can pray with confidence. God, have mercy on me, a sinner whom Jesus came to save. So let me ask you, will you pray that with me now? I'm going to simply pray those words. Feel free to pray along in your heart. God will hear you. Maybe you're praying it for the 100th time, like me, 100th time this week, maybe. But maybe you're praying it for the first time. You pray along with me. God will hear you. If you're not ready to pray that prayer yet, well, I hope you'll take seriously the challenge of Jesus here and the need to look into him more, because it's a serious challenge. But if you are ready to pray those words, let's pray together now. God, have mercy on me, a sinner whom Jesus came to save. Amen.